Corinthians chapter 12, Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. When I first became a pastor at age 22, I had the idea that ministry was that which God had ordained and commissioned for those of us who were pastors and those of us who were called of God to vocational Christian ministry. After 20 months of being pastor of the Carolina Baptist Church in Covington County, I resigned in order to go to seminary, Southwestern Baptist Seminary in Fort Worth, Texas. And over the course of those 3 years of studies at seminary, I saw that the Bible clearly teaches that ministry is not just the responsibility of pastors, missionaries, evangelists, ministers of music, and people on the church staff. The Bible clearly teaches that ministry is the expectation of every Christian, every son and daughter of God. And so early on in my pastoral ministry, I was given the privilege to see things from God's perspective in a way that I had not seen as a child growing up or not seen during that first pastorate. And it is absolutely revolutionized the way I see my own calling and function as a pastor, and absolutely revolutionized the way I see the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Last Sunday morning, I spoke to you on every member in ministry and talking about a mandate for ministry. 1 Peter chapter 4, and we saw then that all of us have been given spiritual gifts, and we're to use these spiritual gifts to serve others for the glory of Christ. And that is the focus of the message this morning, and it will be the focus of the message next Sunday, these 3 Sundays, as we think about every member in ministry. And before we look in the scriptures, I want to call your attention to two this insert in your bulletin that says every member in ministry, which details various ways that you can serve Christ here at Lakeview. And then there's the larger booklet. And perhaps some of you have not yet seen this one, but that should be at the end of each pew. And if there's some of those on the end of the pew that you're where you're seated, if you would just pass those down to the other side and take somebody on your pew. Did not get a copy of this. Now, let me just ask you, please not read this while I'm preaching. I'm not a really insecure person, but if I look out there and everybody's doing this, I'm just going to ring the bell and we'll go to lunch early. But I want you to be aware of the multitudinous and diverse ways that are available for us here at Lakeview to find a place to serve the Lord. And you can look at that at a later time. Now, today I want to talk to you about this subject, motivation for ministry. Motivation for ministry. What is it that ought to motivate us and mobilize us to serve the Lord in the fellowship of His church, not just for 6 months or for a few years, but for a lifetime? And I want to suggest this morning that a key factor in being motivated for ministry is this, and this is the servant in a sentence right here. A Christian who ministers according to his or her spiritual gifts will remain motivated for ministry. Let me repeat that for you. A Christian who ministers according to his or her spiritual gifts will remain motivated for ministry. It's not to say that that person would not be physically exhausted or emotionally exhausted in ministry. Of course you will be. You may be tired in the ministry, but not tired of the ministry if you and I are serving according to the gifts that God has given to us. Now, we're going to look at this a little more carefully, but last Sunday, I gave you a real short half-sentence definition for spiritual gifts, and a spiritual gift is a supernatural ability for Christian ministry. A spiritual gift is a supernatural ability for Christian ministry. So this morning I want us to look in 1 Corinthians 12 and then a bit in Romans chapter 12. I want you to see three simple truths in these two chapters that ought to motivate us for ministry in the body of Christ. The first one is this: we should recognize the Lord as the source of all ministry. If we're going to be motivated, not just for a short time, but for a lifetime, we need to recognize that the Lord is the source of all of our ministry. The strength that we have to serve God in the fellowship of this church comes from God. It is supernatural in origin. Let me just say that a spiritual gift is not a talent. Sometimes spiritual gifts and talents can kind of commend one another and compliment one another, but it's not the same thing as a talent. A talent is a natural ability that is given at physical birth. A spiritual gift is a supernatural ability that is given at second birth or new birth or rebirth when a person comes to saving faith in Christ. Now, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Paul writes, "Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant." The church in Corinth was a very gifted church. Apparently, they had all the gifts of the Spirit operating in their church, but they were being abused in ways that was divisive. And so Paul has to address this issue in this letter to the Corinthians, and he says to them, "I do not want you to be ignorant about spiritual gifts." Now, what was true for the Corinthian Christians is true for those of us here in the 21st century. God wants every one of us who knows the Lord Jesus Christ to be in the know about spiritual gifts. When I look back on it, it's amazing to me that I was a youth pastor and then a pastor. After being a youth pastor for 20 months, I had no concept of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's in the Bible. I read 1 Corinthians, but I didn't see it there. And so the Scripture is quite clear that God does not want us to be in the dark about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We are to be in the light. None of us should be an ignoramus about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now skip down to verse 7. "Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." I want to underline that phrase, "each one." Simply, there are no exceptions. If you are a Christian, then you have been gifted by the Lord for ministry. And this phrase, "the manifestation of the Spirit," is just simply another way to say that God has given you this grace gift, this charismaton, these gifts of grace to His church, and He does it by His sovereign choice. God is the source. We don't go to the Lord and say, "Now, Lord, here are the gifts of the Spirit." We read them here in 1 Corinthians 12, we read them in Romans 12, we read them in Ephesians 4, and we say, "Lord, I'll have this one, this one, this one, but I don't want this one, this one, this one." This is not like a cafeteria where we get to pick and choose what our spiritual gift is. No, God sovereignly assigns to His children the gifts of the Spirit. God sovereignly puts in place in the body of Christ each one of us where He wants us to be. You'll see this down here in the same chapter, verse 18, 1 Corinthians 12, 18. "But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be." So God decides. And go back to verse 7, and He does it for the common good. The gifts of the Spirit are not given for our personal benefit, but when we minister according to our giftedness, we are certainly personally benefited and blessed. But the gifts of the Spirit are given to each one of us in the body of Christ for the good of the entire body of Christ. Now look in verse 11. "All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines." So again, we see that God is sovereign in the distribution of the gifts of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, God determines what your spiritual gift is. God determines my spiritual gift. And every one of us has been gifted uniquely by God. These supernatural abilities to serve in the body of Christ. I want to use the phrase "a spiritual gift mix." There are about 19 or 20 gifts of the Spirit that are listed in the New Testament. But I want to suggest that God puts them together in different combinations. So literally the number of apostles were bright kids. And so when they came to graduation, the father said to his three triplet sons, something like this, not sons, we'll make an offer to you. He said, I want you to go to any college in the country that will accept you. And I'm willing to pay every penny of your tuition, your lodging, your books, your meals, whatever. I'll pay everything. You don't have to worry about a thing. I'll take care of it. You choose any major you want to go to, any school you want to go to, and just this one caveat, when you graduate, I get to choose your career. So in this imaginary story, these boys, they choose a school, they choose a major. One decides that he wants to be an attorney. And so he goes off to university. When he finishes university, he goes to law school. He graduates from law school. His brother decides he wants to be an aerospace engineer. And so he goes to university, goes to an engineering school, and when he finishes, he goes and gets a graduate degree from the university in aerospace engineering. And the third son decides he wants to go to medical school, so he goes off to university and gets accepted to med school, and he goes to med school. And in the province of God, all three sons graduate from their respective schools at the same time. One from med school, one from law school, one from the graduate school as an engineer. But the father had said to them, now, boys, you study what you want to, and I get to choose your career. So here they are, they've graduated, and the father says to the son who finished at law school, my son, I know you've been training as a physician, but I have made arrangements for you to be a junior partner in one of the most prestigious law firms in Washington, D.C. And to the son who just got a PhD in aerospace engineering, he says, now son, I know that you want to be an engineer, but the deal was I get to choose your career, so I've made arrangements for you to be a surgeon in Mayo Clinic. And to the son who went to law school, he says, now son, I know you went to law school, but look, I've got a job for you in Houston at NASA. Now that'd be ludicrous, wouldn't it? No father is going to do that to his children. Now, God is infinitely more wise than any father and infinitely more loving. And whatever God gives you by means of spiritual gifts or ministry, you can know that what God has purpose for you is infinitely better than you could ever design for yourself. He is sovereign in his church, and he is sovereign in his universe, and he is sovereign in and over, should be sovereign, as we allow him to be, the lives of his sons and daughters. So recognize that God is the source of our ministry. Number two, I want you to say a second truth here. Rejoice in the ministry of others. We should rejoice in the ministry of others, that there is diversity in the body of Christ, that God has gifted us in different ways. Now, we see this in the 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4, 5, and 6. So look with me in verse 4. Paul says there are different kinds of gifts with the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service with the same Lord. There are different kinds of workings, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now, those verses, those three verses, you see the word different three times. You see the word same three times. And here we see something of the diversity in the body of Christ, but something of the unity in the body of Christ. And the unity is found in the triune God. We see the Trinity taught here in these verses. God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. And yet there are different kinds of gifts, and different kinds of gifts result in different kinds of service in the body of Christ, which means different kinds of works that we do in the body of Christ. Look now in verses 8, 9, and 10, because in these verses he begins to identify some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Verse 8 says, to one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. So there is the gift of wisdom. There's the wisdom that comes from living a while, but this is different. This is a wisdom that comes from God. It's a wisdom that you get at conversion. Number two, not testament to another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another, faith by the same Spirit, to another, gifts, plural, of healings, plural, by that one Spirit, to another, miraculous powers, to another, prophecy, to another, distinguishing between spirits, to another, different kinds of tongues, to still another, the interpretation of tongues. So here are a list of nine of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a further list found in verse 28 and 29. Look down in verses 28 and 29 and actually 30 as well. There we read in verse 28, and the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles. That's a gift that God gives to the church. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. Then workers of miracles. And those having gifts of healing. Those able to help others. Those with gifts of administration. Those speaking in different kinds of tongues. So let's just pause right there. And you see there's some overlap here between what we find in the latter part of the chapter and what we find in the earlier part of the chapter. But you find a different listing of some of the gifts in the latter part of the chapter. Now, does everybody have every gift? And I think, the obvious answer is going to be no. Simply because if one person had every spiritual gift, he or she would be a one-man church. And you wouldn't need anybody else in the body of Christ. It'd just be you and Jesus. We got some folks think like that, but that's not biblical. So, the gifts are distinctive, they're different, and no one person has every spiritual gift. Nor is any particular spiritual gift given to everybody in the body. And we see this in verses 29 and 30. Paul asks the question here in verse 29, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all have gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret? And the answer, I think, is obvious just from reading the English text. No, everybody's not an apostle, everybody's not a teacher, everybody's not a prophet, everybody doesn't speak in tongues. Now, if you're reading this in the Greek text, you have to give a negative answer because it's not apparent in our English text, but in the Greek text of the New Testament, the negative particle may alpha, mu alpha is there, and it always requires a negative answer. So if somebody says to you didn't have my particular spiritual gift, well, no. You have the gift the Spirit God has given to you. So what about verse 31? That you desire the great gifts? That is an admonition to the church in part that God would bring to the church there the gifts that were more valuable as opposed to the lesser gifts that were causing such division and discord in the church there. So what we ought to see here is there's diversity in the body of Christ. We ought not to be jealous of somebody else's gift or somebody else's ministry. Because in this Lakeview family of faith, every one of us is different. And that's why in this booklet here, every member in ministry of the diverse ways that a person can serve Christ. So this is just far. Go by what's in here. You can go behind this. Look at that. Go to the last one. It just says, wherever the church needs me. So you can fill that in many ways. The thing I want you to see here is that we ought not to be jealous that somebody can do something we can't do. God made us the way He wants us to be. And His plan is good. Can you imagine what it would be like on a year, on Sunday, if I worked in the preschool? I tried it one Sunday about 20 years ago. I was on vacation, and almost always when I go on vacation, I go out of town. It's just some preachers need to do. Trust me, there's reasons for that. But on this particular Sunday, it was around Thanksgiving, and we were in town. So I volunteered to serve in the extended service in the preschool while y'all were in here listening to somebody preach. So it wasn't me. So I had 2-year-olds, and I had a good time. And when the service was over, and moms and dads come to get their children, when Molly's mom and dad came, Molly wasn't in the room. They said, where's Molly? I said, well, she's right here. You know, looking going on. I didn't get asked to serve in the priesthood. I didn't do that by design, by the way. I just clueless. I was walking this, and I got 9 grandkids, but, you know, if it depended on me to work back there, we'd have problems week in and week out. So we don't need to be envious of somebody else's abilities to serve the Lord. In fact, I look at people that have been in this church that are far better at ministering encouragement and comfort and counsel and blessing the people than I am. And I wear that, and I rejoice that those people are here in the body of Christ to serve in ways that I'm not gifted to serve. That's just God's church, and He decides how to structure it. So instead of being envious that somebody can teach or sing or do something that you and I can't do, we ought to just say, God, we bless you and rejoice in how you designed your church. Let me give you a third and final truth. This time we need to go to Romans chapter 12. Here it is. Receive satisfaction from exercising spiritual gifts in ministry. Receive satisfaction from exercising spiritual gifts in ministry. When you and I try to serve outside our spiritual giftedness, we can't sustain it over an extended period of time. Maybe for a short time. Maybe for 2 or 3 more years. But I suggest it's just not satisfying and fulfilling if we find ourselves in a place of service where we're not gifted to serve. Now, in Romans chapter 12, again, in verse 3, going through verse 8, we see Paul addressing the same issue. Come from the same inspired pen of the Apostle Paul, one to the church in Corinth, one to the church in Romans. And let's just begin with verse 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment according to the measure of faith God has given you. I'm going to just pause there and say, when Paul says to the Romans and to us 2,000 years later, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, he's saying, don't be arrogant, don't be proud, don't be cocky. This is a grace gift that God has given you. You can't take credit for it. It's God's gift of grace. Then he says, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. And of course, with the measure of faith God has given you. I think he's speaking here both to those who are proud of their gifts and also speaking to those who are falsely humble. The person who says, well, you know, I can't do what brother so-and-so does or sister so-and-so does. I'm a nothing. I don't have any abilities at all. I'm just here. I'm just occupying God's green earth, sitting in my pew on Sunday. There's nothing I can do. That's not humility. That's false humility. That's an inverted sort of pride. If God has gifted you for ministry, it is not humility to say you're a nobody. It's like saying, God, I am ungrateful for the gifts that you've given me to serve in the body of Christ. Now, let's read on. Look in verse 4. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and the members of all have the same function. In other words, that the hands don't do what the feet do, they don't do what the eye does or the ears do, so forth. So in Christ, verse 5, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We are an organic whole. Jesus is the head of the body. We'll see more about this next week. Now, in verses 6, 7, and 8, he lists 7 spiritual gifts. There is some overlap in this list from the 1 Corinthians list. And there's some gifts that are listed here that are not found in the 1 Corinthians list. Verse 6, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. Notice the end of the diversity. Now, if a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. In other words, if your gift is prophecy, use the gift of prophecy. God has given you not some of the gift listed here. Next, verse 7, if it is serving, then let him serve. In other words, you work according to your gifting. If it is teaching, you let him teach. If it is encouraging, encouraging, let him encourage Vincent, try to give the needs of others, let him give generously. And in his leadership, let him govern diligently. And in his showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. So what you have here is you have these spiritual gifts which God has given to his children. And when we discern what gifts of the Spirit God has given to us, then we can help you do that. You'll let us. Then God wants us to deploy those gifts in ministry. And one person might have the gift to teach, and they might have the gift to teach the senior adults, and they might have the gift to teach third grade boys and girls, and they might have the gift to teach evangelistic Bible studies on the campus. And so there's so much diversity here in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's important that we serve in the way we are gifted to serve. When I was a boy growing up, I was very active. Our family was very active in the First Baptist Church of Florella, Alabama. And my dad was a deacon over many decades. Many, many times my dad was served as chairman of the deacons of our church, and my father made it his business to be the pastor's number one supporter. And I really appreciate that about him. And he was. Well, once upon a time, during my childhood years, I think I was now maybe in high school, somebody in the church, they had nominating committees back in those days. Somebody on the nominating committee decided my daddy needed to teach 9-year-old boys. And they talked him into it. Well, those 9-year-old boys, they love my daddy, but I don't think they got much Bible teaching from him. He took them camping in places like that, but my dad was not a Bible teacher. He was a gifted leader, an outstanding deacon and chairman of deacons, but he wasn't much of a Bible teacher. So another deacon of our church, Mr. Wickham, godly man, loved Jesus. So he and his family active in the church. He was president of the bank. Probably the best Bible teacher in the church was Mr. Rex Wickham. And I wasn't going to deacon's meeting in those days. But my dad said that when Mr. Whitman was given responsibility 1 year to be chairman of the deacons, nothing happened. I mean, he just couldn't lead. But he was really gifted to teach the Bible. It's not a character issue, you understand that. I'm not trying to slam my dad because he wasn't a good Bible teacher, or this other deacon because he wasn't the leader that my father was. I'm just simply trying to point out to you that here are two godly men who both love Jesus and love the church where they were members. But one was gifted administratively, and the other was gifted in teaching. And when they tried to get them in different slots, it didn't work out really well for either one of them. And I think you get the point, but if you didn't, let me just say it one more time, and then I'm going to sit down. God has gifted every one of his sons and daughters for ministry, and God has a place of ministry for you. Now, last Sunday, I said to you, I think there are several reasons why some people don't serve. I mentioned ignorance, but you can't believe ignorance because you've heard it 2 Sundays in a row now. Fear of failure, which is not a legitimate reason. Carnality in the world, I think, was another. But I want to just add one more to that that I said last Sunday. And I mean this with all of my heart. There are probably some here today. You know how God has gifted you. You know where your passion is to serve. And in your attempts to serve according to your giftedness, that lately you've been in some way rebuffed by this pastor or one of our pastors or group and staff members in ways perhaps that we were unaware of. Maybe in the past you checked something, I want to serve, and nobody ever contacted you. I want to offer the most sincere apology I know how to offer to you. If that's you. If we failed you, please forgive us. You're valuable. And there's a place for you in Lakeview. We need you. And if somehow we've
serving him in the present. So you have in your hand, let me borrow this, Mr. Key. You have in your hand this. You know where you are, where you fit. And you can drop it in a collection box somewhere in the lobby. I don't know where, but look for one. But for most of you, probably need to take this and just seek the Lord and pray about, Lord, where do I fit in the body of Christ at Lakeview? And then do what God tells you to do. Just obey God. And remember that delayed obedience is disobedience, and partial obedience is disobedience. So go all the way with God. I tell you, when we know Jesus, and we position ourselves in the very center of the will of God, we walk in lockstep with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, serving him according to how he has called us and gifted us to serve him. To use a biblical phrase, it is joy unspeakable and full of glory. And just think about what a difference it makes in this community. If not 50% or 60%, but 100% of Lakeview folks were mobilized in some way to serve Christ in and through the fellowship of his church. But it begins with conversion. It begins with a new birth. And if you don't know the Lord, you don't have a spiritual gift. You may be talented, but you don't have a spiritual gift, because I believe the Bible says spiritual gifts are given to us at new birth. And we don't often know what those gifts are when we're born again. It takes a while to discern them. So the greater issue, if you don't know Christ, is not how do I serve him, but how do I know him? How can I know that I'm a son or daughter of God? How can I know that my sins have been forgiven? How can I know that my destiny is heaven? So you need to find that out. I'm sure you can know that in advance, but I'll tell you, you can know in advance that you're going to heaven. You can know today that you're a son and daughter of God if you'll just trust him. As many as received him, he gives the power to become the children of God. If you will receive Christ, he will come into your life. If you'll turn away from your sins and put your faith and trust in Jesus, I promise you, on the authority of God's holy, inspired, and inerrant word, you will be saved. If you'll come, if you'll repent and believe, you'll be saved. And we're going to stand in just a moment. I'll be a pastor, head of each hour. We're going to stand and sing our song of commitment and decision. This is your opportunity to say yes to the prompting of the Holy Spirit of God in your life. This is for you, somebody here, to know Christ today. Will you come? Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. We stand and sing together. Come now. While